How are you guys doing this morning? It's great to see all of you guys. You know, last week we were in Greenville, South Carolina. How many of you guys went? That's great. You know, conferences are always challenging because you feel like you're drinking from a fire hydrant. And you can't swallow fast enough. And I tell people, when I go to these conferences, I'm slow, so I can't do a lot of things. I only pick two things. Two things that I can change, two things that I can repent of, two things that I can work on. Because if I were to start listing all these things that you know, what I learned from the conference, I'll be overwhelmed. And so I just come back and do two things, and, you know, it's good. You probably, a lot of you guys can do 3 or 5 or 10 things, but I can only do 2. So, but it's great to be back. It's great to know that God is in control of every situation. Turn your Bible over to 2 Timothy. Before we go on, let's pray. Father, you are an amazing God. Father, there's no one like you. God, I'm so grateful that you know us by name. God, it's not so much that we know you, but that you know us. And God, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And Father, we come before you this morning, humble, and truly we are amazed by your love for us. God, you are incredible that you allowed us to see the sun this morning, to feel the cool breeze. And Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to hear your word. God, I pray that you will speak now, that your word will speak. Father, I pray that our hearts are moved, that our minds are engaged, that we will see you clearly. We love you so much. Please, God, come be with us now. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, our God is a consuming fire. You know, God has always been glorious. You know, the history of the Israelites in the time of Moses was glorious. You know, they walked through the Red Sea after leaving Egypt. Can you imagine walking through the Red Sea, like what Gary was talking this morning, walking through dry ground? That was glorious. You know, Moses, how bold he was. He said, God, I want to see you face to face. And God says, no, you can't do that because you'll die. And yet God said, I'll pass by and so you can see my back. So Moses saw his back and he lit up like a light bulb. You know, Joshua did great things before the Lord. The Jericho battle wasn't really a battle. The wall just came down. They went in and took it. The day that the sun stood still. Amazing. They won incredible battles, victories. It was glorious. And then they went through the darkest time of their lives. They start facing defeats. You know, because they had strayed from God. And ultimately, the Philistine took the Ark of the Covenant. You know, Eli's daughter-in-law had a baby and gave her son the name Ichabod. It says, no glory, or the glory has departed from Israel. They went from glorious to incredible glorious to decreasing glorious, to decreasing glorious, to no glory. I think some of them were tired of hearing about the Red Sea, right? Like, remember when? Oh, yeah, I heard that before. Remember the Battle of Jericho? Yeah, I heard that before. Well, what about the Battle of Ai? Okay, well, I heard that before. I think they get tired of hearing the stories, because they didn't see anything happening in their life. There was no glory. a bunch of activity, just living day to day. You know, take it to us today. We have seen glorious things in our past. You know, in our individual lives, as a church, as a brotherhood across the world, we've met people, helped them to know Jesus. We were bold, we were courageous, we were daring, we were full of faith. I remember, I don't know if you guys did that. I remember martyr preaching. You go into martyr and you say, "Everybody listen to me." And I was like, "This is intense." You know, I remember doing this, and I don't advise doing that. I guess you can if you want to, but I did this with a few brothers, and at the end of my thing, one guy stood up way from the back, and huge guy, it's like Joe Cook, huge guy comes walking towards me, and I'm like, "Oh no, what is he going to do?" And he comes, he walks up to me, stands right in front of me like this. He says, "Brother, that was awesome. I'm a brother down in the south side." I was like, "Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness you're a brother." Because where was I going to go? I was trapped in this cart, you know. I couldn't go anywhere. But he, you know, it was awesome. You know, we were bold and courageous. We did a lot of things that were just kind of crazy. But, you know, it was great because we knew that God was going to do something. You know, our mission was to have a church in every nation. Remember that? Every nation, we're going to plant a church. Help people to know God. The campus was cranking. People were coming in droves. The singles, it was hot. It was hot Atlanta. It was hot. We were unified. There was nothing that was going to stop us from being unified. We had dreams and go to see everyone come to know Jesus. But I want us this morning to be honest. Let's be honest to ourselves. We are not there now. We have grown stale individually and collectively. We have gotten too busy building our own homes and forgotten to rebuild the temple of the Lord. We have stopped being all in for Jesus. We start holding back. So this morning, as I, you know, the title of my message today is Ever Increasing Glory. Amen. How are we going to get this ever increasing glory? Because our God is a glorious God. We are at a crossroad. Will we revive the glory of the Lord? Or become an Ichabod disciple in an Ichabod church in an Ichabod era? The challenge is how to bring back the glory of God. God continues to move despite us. But what must we do to bring the glory back in our lives, in our church, in our fellowship? I have 4 points that I think it will help us to bring back the glory of God. Number one is ever-growing righteousness. To bring back the glory of God, we've got to have ever-growing righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, we're starting verse 20. It says, "In a large house, there are articles, not only of gold and silver, but also with wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know, it says here that God has a plan, a work for us to do. You know, God wants to use us for a special purpose. But he cannot use you because you have hidden sin in your heart. You know, I remember, I don't know, you know, I love working outside, you know, mowing lawn and doing things. It's therapeutic for me. So if you have lawn you want me to mow, come talk to me. I love to do that. Not every day, but, you know, sometimes I love cleaning. I love vacuuming. There's something about vacuuming. It's cleaning. I remember one day I was vacuuming, and I heard this noise. It popped. And then it starts smelling like rubber. Like, what is that? Oh, what is that? So I'm, you know, unplugged it, flipped it over, looked inside of it. Oh, my goodness, all kind of stuff in there. It's got hair. That's my lot in life for living with three women. It's, you know, like hair and paper. And so I like, oh, I got to get all that out, get in there. Like, you know, it was like, ah, and it was smelly. You know, and I think sometimes we're like that. You know, God has to turn our belly up to see what's really on the inside. And God wants to use us. You know, sin just don't happen overnight. You know, it's been years and years of sin, and it's in the back, in the deep back of your heart. And then when God turns you over, he sees all this thing. Your heart is clogged with sin. And you smell the burning. You know, the rubber burning. And it's you who are being burned out. See, it says here that we need to cleanse ourselves. It's not people's job to come and clean us. We have to take ownership of our sin and cleanse ourselves, because God wants to use you. You know, the question is, what sin is in your heart right now that you know is not right, but you are unwilling to confess and repent? You know, Satan, and I talked a little bit about Satan in a little bit, but you know, Satan will wait. He's very patient. He will wait and wait. And he'll just wait. And eventually, we and the sin that is in our heart will eventually take us out. And I pray for us that we will, you know, as we are trying to bring the glory back to God, that we will have an ever-growing righteousness. Repent is a mind change that leads to a behavior change. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Sin entangles, right? It's like one sin and just one another sin, and it just keeps, you know, entangles you. And you can't walk. You can't breathe. But here he gives us the way how we can beat sin. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you can untangle those sins. Jesus does not care about the outside. He cares only what's on the inside. So my question for you this morning is, where are you? Where are you in growing righteousness? Have you stopped? Have you gone backward? To bring the glory back, we must relentlessly pursue righteousness. Have ourselves, be honest to ourselves. Take ownership for our action. You know, sometimes we blame everybody else except us. We judge everybody else by their action. We judge ourselves by our intentions. And sometimes if we just look at our action and not just judge ourselves by our intentions, we will see clearly what God wants us to do. Number two, everlasting love. To bring the glory of God back, we must have an everlasting love. Look in 1 Thessalonians. We'll look at verse 17, 1 Thessalonians. It says, but brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned, being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Paul says, what is the crown of glory? Is it not you, the people, the relationship that we have? The crown of glory, it's you, what God has done in your life. You know how God has changed you. We need to have an everlasting love for one another. You know, I want to talk about Chris Ficklin here for a little bit. Chris is a student at GGC that was baptized this summer. You know, the first time I met Chris, he was kind of shy. He didn't say much. Kind of kept to himself. And then as he starts studying the Bible, things start to come out in his life. You know, from a guy who didn't have a lot of emotion, he started having and dealing with his emotions. You know, he got baptized. And I was out of town, and I came back, and like, Chris, let's go celebrate. And so we're on the road, we're driving, and, you know, Chris starts talking. And if you know Chris, he gets louder and louder. And he's talking about his emotion. And I just start laughing. It's like, look at you. Who are you? I was like, Chris, this is amazing. God has changed you. From a guy who kept himself, who was very insecure, to a guy who says, God is awesome. God can do anything. Full of emotions. You know, it is the people that you have impacted. It is the one another relationship. You know, I think sometimes we think disciples and we kind of just kind of gloss over it. You know that when you're sitting next to a disciple, you have to understand that this person is chosen by God. So you should be, oh my goodness, this person. Chosen by God Almighty. This person is a child of God. You know, if we had like, you know, the Obama daughter come and visit us, we would think, oh man, we need to get them a front seat or something, right? We need to treat them differently because they're the daughter of the President of the United States. God, he or she is a daughter of God. Wow. A part of the body, the bride of Christ. He and she has the Holy Spirit living in them. He has the mind of Christ, shielded by God's power. He is an ambassador for God. You know, sometimes we take it for granted and we sit by disciples. I want us to really think about it. This person has been specifically handpicked by God, has the Holy Spirit living in them. And sometimes when you're in the midst of greatness, you don't realize it until it's gone. And you're like, wow, did that just happen? I was with so-and-so. We got to change our view of each other. Be hospitable to one another. Open your home. It is not the size of your living room. It is about the size of your heart. Are you willing to drive anywhere, go anywhere to help one another, to serve one another, to get out of your comfort, to help one another, love one another? You know, we don't long to be together anymore. We don't long. I can't wait to be with you, brother. I want to get with you, sister. Let's hang out. Come to my house. I don't have much, but we'll eat whatever I have. We don't long. We have to have that longing, everlasting love. We need everlasting love. You know, our motto should be, nothing will change my love for you. Unchangeable love. Not disagreement, not racism, not the color of our skin. It is impossible for something to happen for me to change my love for you. That's got to be our motto. Love each other deeply. Willing to tell each other the truth in love. Serve one another like you are serving the Lord. Everlasting love. To bring the glory of God back, we must have an everlasting love. You are our joy. You know, Gary's right. We have a story to tell. Every one of us, we have a story to tell. Let's love one another. Number three, ever deepening faith. Romans chapter 4, ever deepening faith. We start with verse 18. Since against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. You know, it says he did not waver through unbelief and was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. Did not waver. To bring the glory of God, we have to have an ever-deepening faith. Is our faith growing deeper in God, or has it become more shallow? You know, I remember when we were overseas, our Bible talk and our zone was going backward. That whole year, the entire year, we had one baptism. One baptism. People were leaving, and we're just thinking, what are we doing? What's happening here? And so our brother came down from Seoul, Korea, and he got with us, and we told him what's happening. And, you know, we're like, man, we're going backward. What's going on? And he looked at all of us, and he's like, man, that's terrible. I wish you had no baptism. Because now, you know, when you make your comeback, it will be more glorious. You guys had one, so that's not so as glorious. That was his faith. He's like, when you make your comeback, it will be more glorious. It changed my life. Like, wow, God can do anything. I just need to believe. I just need to have faith. You know, it's not the system. It's not the campaign. It's not the, you know, let's try to do this. And no, I realize I just need to pray more. I realize it's not about me. It's God. You know, how can you tell when you're relying on your own self? You start relying on your experience. You start relying on your own wisdom. Well, you know, you should have done this and you should have done that. And, you know, you start relying on your own wisdom and your own knowledge. And you're not relying on God anymore. You know, we love our children. Our children have incredible faith, right? They just have simple faith that God can do anything. I remember our kids were playing a board game. And, you know, they were you know, five, our youngest one's about five, and we're going to play a board game, and then she disappeared. We're like, where'd she go? And we look down, and she's down the floor praying to God. God, help me win this game. She's down on the floor, and the other one said, she looked at me, Daddy, that's not fair. She's getting God involved. That's just not fair. She's getting God involved. And I look at that like, wow, that's simple faith. You know, it's they just have simple faith. Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Rely on God and give your faith away. You know, are we sharing our faith like we used to anymore? You know, sometimes we invite people and we share our faith, and those things are great, but I think we have to understand what that really means. I think we need to understand that 20-second conversation, it is the most important moment of that person's existence. Let me say that again. It is the most important 20-second of their existence. It could change their destiny. It would change their life. It is that crossroad. So as you're going out sharing your faith, telling people about God, inviting them to church, it is the most important 20-second of their life. Eternity, salvation, in the balance. You have the answer. You know, imagine you have a bag full of medicine and people are dying left and right in front of you, and you have the cure and you're not passing it out. It's morally wrong to not give it to people who are dying left and right around you, and you holding the bag of medicine here. And God has given us a purpose. God has changed our life. We need to share it. You never know what God is going to do. You just don't. You know, God cannot do miracles in your life if you never put yourself in a position to need one. We're always playing it safe. You know, we're scared. I don't want to share with this guy. I might look dumb. What am I going to say? I don't know what to say. Say something. Talk to them. Tell them what God has done for you. Don't be afraid. Go deeper in your faith. You know, I want us tomorrow morning, as we wake up from our, you know, from sleep and we're about to get to work, imagine if Jesus was sitting at your bedside. And he said, I'm going to follow you today. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. How would your day be like? After being startled, like, Jesus, whoa. You're going to go with me the entire day? How would your day be like? Would it be any different than tomorrow? I think we would expect miracles, right? We would go. We would think, oh, man, Jesus is with me. Oh, my goodness, watch out, people. Something great is going to be done here. Jesus is with you. What would your day be like? Expect miracles. Don't shrink back on your faith. God has given you so many things. My last point is, number four, is ever-expanding dreams. To bring back the glory of God, we've got to have an ever-expanding dreams. Ephesians chapter 3. We all know the scripture very, very well. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, it says that the power is at work within us. You know, what do you want God to do for you this year? We're in the middle of the year. What do you want God to do for you? It says he can do more than what you can ask or imagine. Imagine. He can do more than that. Do you have enough guts to ask him? God, this is what I want. I want my marriage to do better. I want my kids to love you. I want our church to grow. I want to see the world saved for you. What are you imagining? His power is at you. It's within you. I think we need to dream bigger. We need to imagine bigger. You know, the truth is, when we stop dreaming, the nightmares begin. People are out there lost. Their marriage, their kids, they have no hope. We have to dream for them. For our family member. For our friends and our coworkers. Let's dream for them. You know, our greatest hindrance, I'm afraid to say, is not Satan. Although he is a big, big hindrance. I think our greatest hindrance are Christians who have stopped making Jesus Lord of their life. That's our greatest hindrance. Remember your good confession, Jesus is Lord. I'll go anywhere and anytime, do anything for you, Jesus. That was what we said. Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus Lord of your life right now? Every day, making Jesus Lord. The decisions that you make, is Jesus Lord? Is he still Lord of my life? Or have I become my Lord? Or something else become my Lord? Does Satan even know you? Is he aware of you? Or are you even in the game? You know, Satan's not worrying about you because you're not even in the game. He's like, let him just do what his thing. He's not even aware of you. Is Satan aware of you? You know, for us, it's to be devoted to God's word. To devote to prayer, to seeking and saving the lost. Don't back off from our purpose. You know, if we don't have dreams, we will start conforming to the world. You know, who is influencing who? Are we influencing the world, or is the world influencing us and our kids? You know, our kids go to school and they're bombarded with so many things. You know, so many things they hear and they see. Are we influencing them? Or is the world influencing our kids and our hearts as well? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know and be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Expanding dream. Do you believe you can change the world? You know, what is your dream? Does your dream align with God's dream? You know, here's our dream and here's God's dream. Does it align? God wants to use you. Is God wanting you to do something for him, and you are too scared? You're too afraid? You're too selfish? What he's asking does not fit into your lifestyle, into your time and effort, or your personal goal and dream. Align your goal and dream with God's dream. Don't be afraid. You know, there was a movie not too long ago called Gladiator. And this line is so great. And it says, what we do today will echo through all eternity. And that's what I say to all of us, church. What we do today will echo through all of eternity. So to bring back the glory of God, ever increasing glory, we must have an ever-growing righteousness, an everlasting love for one another, an ever-deepening faith, and an ever-expanding dream. You know, God is doing an amazing thing on the campus of GGC this fall. Bible talks have started, and lots of people are coming, and you know, it's great to see young people be fired up for God. And I tell them all the time, you know, it's how you feel right now. You can't lose. Because when you get older, things happen in your life. And you lose that joy. And you become complacent. in your heart. And so this morning, as I call us back to bring the glory of God back in our life, in our church, let us focus on these things so God's glorious name will be back again in our hearts, in our life. I love you guys so much. God is doing an amazing thing in this church, and He is continuing to do great things in this church and in our lives. I'm so grateful to be here, so grateful to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Love you so much. God bless.
Thank God. Oh, I want to thank John for the lesson and to talk about the ever-increasing glory that I pray that it will move our hearts closer to God and move our hearts closer to the things that God really would love to be able to have happen in our lives and for the rest of our lives. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, John, today, and so much it moves our hearts. Before we are dismissed for church service, I have one announcement that this is the final push, that the Hope Walk is this coming Saturday, September 19th. Pray for it to feel like it does this morning. That'll be awesome. It'll be a great walk. So for those that are participating in it, and definitely even for those that haven't had opportunity to raise money, still have this final week, and even if you haven't, still please join in and participate. It's a great time of fellowship and joining in together. Please stop by the table at the church, which is out there in the hallway, and you receive the waiver that needs to be signed. That I know that Georgia Tech is definitely demanding that we sign a waiver before doing the walk. Also, we'll have instructions for the walk. And then also, there will be water bottles available for those that have raised $100 or more, whether it's by checks or if they've done it online. So please stop by the table and get this information as well as get the water bottle and then set ourselves up for the walk on this coming Saturday. Amen? Okay. Well, let us pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for today and for the church service and for the communion, for the singing we'd be able to do and the praying, as well as the message about the ever-increasing glory. Father, I pray so much that our hearts would draw closer to you. We really will take and do like the Bereans and study these scriptures to read these things and have our hearts drawn. Thank you so much for the Bible class today and learning about Joshua and just the people passing on a message from one generation to the next. I pray that our hearts will do the same, that we'll have lives that are worthy of example, that we can pass it on from generation to generation. And I pray that our hearts this week will be moved to share with someone that we could change that family's and that person's heart, that would then change their family and change their destiny from generation to generation, God. Thank you so much for giving us that much power, and it's only through your Holy Spirit that we have that. I pray for those that are visiting that their hearts will be moved and motivated to want to know you and go closer to you and study your word and study your Bible so they could know who you are and they can have an opportunity to have a relationship with you. Thank you so much once again for all that you do. And I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.